Welcome back to another episode of the Designated Pundits. I'm Bob, here with Scott and Alex, and we're here to talk about everything that just happened. Match day 8, Major League Soccer. If you're watching, we need you to do something right now. We need you to go give this video a like. Make sure you subscribe to our channel, The Designated Pundits. You can find us on YouTube, your favorite podcast app, thedesignatedpundits.com. You can find all our audio links to every major podcast platform. So we thank you in advance for doing that. Apparently, I'm supposed to say that at the beginning of every video, and I have done that in the beginning of no videos. So hopefully, maybe someone out there is going to hit that subscribe button. We'll get a few more followers for next week. Gentlemen, it is Monday, April 8th. The eclipse has happened. The sun was blocked by the moon, Alex. What do you have against the eclipse? What do you have against people having fun, Alex?
I'm against people calling out of work to watch it. You got to be out of your mind. You got to be out of your minds. That's all I got to say about that. You got to be out of your mind. Booking a bed and breakfast around the country for this shit? Excuse my language. Come on. What are we doing?
Alex has the own solar eclipse going on in his apartment right now with that bald head moving in front of the light fixture behind him. But let's get into talking about some Major League Soccer. The first thing we got to talk about here is the Seattle Sounders. Seattle Sounders were one of the last games of the match day. Won 5-0 against CF Montreal. And we want to talk about how it started. And it started with who else? Raul Ruy Diaz finally putting one away. Six of his 11 shots were on target, 2 goals and 1 assist on the match day. And here's what you're going to see from the first video. You see a free kick lined up, ball goes right across, nice head down on a platter, but Raul Ruy Diaz left foot. It kind of curved in a little bit. Is that the Travella? Does that get deserve the name?
No.
But it looked deflected to me the first time I saw it. I don't know what you guys thought. I thought it was deflected immediately when I saw that.
I think that he's got just really nice topspin on it. That's what brings it down. It's a certified banger. It's got great technique. That's a really easy one for him to overhit, actually, and to just put that into row Z and to miss badly. But he does really well getting the topspin to get it up and down and to keep it on target. That is great technique. As they say, form is temporary, class is permanent. Raul Ruy Diaz, he's got class.
I don't think anyone can disagree there. He had 1.35 expected goals on the match. The other goal was actually a nice shot. Six of his 11 shots were on target. 97.1 pass percentage and 1 assist. Looks like he was in great form on this match. And now that leads us with the question that we talked about a little bit on the show, which is, can Seattle make the next step forward? Let's hear what I had to say last week. If there's any coach in the league who can do it, it's probably Brian Schmetzer. This team can turn around in a hurry too, so enjoy picking on Seattle while you can. They're not going to be this battle. Well, they were not bad all season long. They played an excellent game against a pretty decent opponent. 1 win, 2 draws, 3 losses on the season. They're getting a little healthier, but they're not getting younger. Is this enough for them to kind of turn a corner and maybe go on a couple game tear?
That's a really good question, because I'm not sure that turning a corner and winning a couple of games, and off the top of my head, I guess I'm not sure who their next opponents are. It really depends on who they play, but they improved in some ways, but I still have some concerns. I'm still looking at like Jordan Morris, you know, offense not named Raul Ruy Diaz to pick it up. Jordan Morris has only just scored his first goal of the season. And he is a guy who has been basically on the field for almost all of their minutes. So that's not good enough in that position. João Paulo did make a return to the team this week. Albert Rusnak started and played really well all day. That kind of stuff helps. But this is still a Seattle team who has scored now. They scored more goals in this one game than they have in the rest of the season. And so I think there's still reason to be concerned, even if they are turning a corner. Turning that corner does not necessarily make them like Western Conference champion team.
I think we could all agree on that, but it was just nice to see them put any form together at any time. Mm-hmm. And turning the corner could just mean getting healthy, getting, you know, Pedro de la Vega on the field, and really putting the pieces together. I still think this is a very talented team. They have, you know, age, they have experience, they have a lot of different things. They got a little better this offseason at some positions, got Albert Rusnak, you know, still looking for that kind of second striker, maybe another DP away from putting it together. But they're going to be in a lot of games. Alex?
Well, I'm not going to agree with you guys on this one. To me, the first thing you said, Bob, was age. Excuse me, with Seattle. Rusnak, Rui Diaz. Look, you played Montreal, who started the season, what, first 7-8 games on the road? Montreal picked a bad day to have a bad day. The last game of a long road trip, Seattle took advantage. I think that's all this really is. Has Seattle turned a corner? I'm not sure. They're at Dallas this week, who's struggling maybe even more than Seattle. You know, always a tough place to play in Dallas. Let me see what Seattle can do in Dallas this week for me before I decide to see if they turn the corner. I'm still not sold on Seattle. Yes, if any coach could do it, it's Schmetzer. But just like Scott said, what's wrong with Morris? He does not look like anything. He's, I don't know what you guys think. He does not look like the player at all the last few years to me at all. He looks a step slower. He looks not disinterested, just not Jordan Morris. I don't see the speed down the wing. I don't see, you know, aggressiveness. I just don't see it. So to me, I'm still in a wait and see mode with Seattle, but the coach is there. You're absolutely right, Bob. If anyone could do it, is him. They got some age on this team that I do not like. That's one thing I have a concern with them. And I think they're going to miss some time, some of these older guys down the line through the summer, especially with the tournaments going on, blah, blah, blah. Again, at Dallas this week, let me see what Seattle could do before I start judging them again. I'm going to wait and see in mode with Seattle right
now. And just adding to that real quick before we move on, next game is in Dallas, but then they're back at home against Vancouver. It's a tough, that's a tough, tough test. Yep. Then they go to DC. We're all kind of high on DC. Then they go to Philadelphia. That's a good Philadelphia team. Then they host the LA Galaxy. And, you know, and then it's, you know, a rivalry game with at Portland. But it's just, they do have some really tough games in these next few fixtures. We're going to learn a lot more about this team in the next like 4, 5, 6 weeks.
Exactly.
Now let's get to some games that we actually did bet on this week. I had an excellent weekend, 6.5 units up, and I think I was 6-2 on all my Major League Soccer bets. We had some bangers in there, and the one I want to talk about first is Red Bull hosting Cincinnati FC. Let's go back and listen to what bet I had here. The bet here is actually not Red Bull to win or Red Bull to win or draw. It's actually both teams to score at minus 125. That's the one that was given in our chat, and that's the one I definitely want to be looking at this weekend. I think Cincinnati and Red Bull, they both have good enough offenses to get something done. So we had Red Bull. I did go on further to say that I was betting on Red Bull. I did count them in my wins for this week, although it might be a riskier bet to take a team like that. Red Bull went into Cincinnati, took a 2-1 result. Now, Alex, I said 4 weeks ago that we had a stretch against Columbus, Inter Miami, Orlando, and FC Cincinnati. And I said, if they scored 7 points, that means that they're turned around. And I want to hear you say something nice about the Red Bulls.
What I do like about the Red Bulls is Coach Schwartz is saying, looking around the league, he's saying, how many teams have a dominant center forward? Not many. Correct me if I'm wrong. Not many. He's like, you know what? I'm putting on a 4-4-2. I'm playing two wingers are going to score, and I'm going to press, and that's it. No gimmicks. No BS. No, you know, over 3-5-1-2 to 4-4-2. I'm going to press, and that's it. And it's exactly what the Rebels are doing. Simple, old school, it works. And right as of right now, look, they've gotten results. Look, they've beaten teams that have some players out. They've taken advantage of that. Nothing wrong with that. You got to play the games that are on the schedule. Remember, no Walker Zimmerman in Nashville. Cincinnati had a backup goalie this week. Doesn't matter. They got the points where they needed. Right now, what's not to be excited about the Red Bulls? I know it's still early. People start talking supporter shield already. I'm like, come on, no. It's too early to be talking about that. But they're very impressive right now. They seem to be a cohesive unit. With Van Zier and Lewis Morgan and Forsberg, that's a trifecta right now that's really deadly right now. And I'm interested to see going forward what they can do.
I think if you're a Red Bull fan, and you two are Red Bull fans, these are the good times. This is a time to just enjoy a team who is a good team to watch. The press is an exciting brand of soccer in its own right. They play with energy, they play with conviction, and you have players that are cohesive, and this is a team that can score goals. I think that is a very exciting thing. It's fun to watch them play. It's fun to watch them win.
It's fun to see them beat FC Cincinnati after what happened at the playoffs last year. Of course, me getting under some skin, getting 400 mentions in 4 hours on the Twitter. I love how it was done. Frankie Amaya with one from the back, the center defensive midfielder knocking in a banger against his old team. Love to see that. Something he only did once in the two seasons he was there for Cincinnati. I really like what we see. And what I talked about as a guest on another podcast earlier this week, they seem to have a more solid press. It's not like the mindless Lassane press where you're going to press in every situation, no matter if you're going to get close to the ball or not, maybe force a bad pass if you can't touch it. They're kind of making better decisions. They're going after the balls they think they can get to. They're pulling off and rearranging. They're letting you pass the ball to certain situations. There were the left winger here was open the entire game. Once they saw on the first drive, the left winger was open. They didn't pass to him. Red Bull says it's not on the book for today. We're going to leave that open. Use it. Beat us that way because we don't want you to beat us with Bupenza. And I think I like that a lot. It's almost like the Belichickian, like we're going to take out your best weapon. And once we do that, we're going to let you, you know, we'll let you pass here, but you're not going to pass to this guy. This lane is closed. This lane is open. Kind of directing play in that style. And what I said, again, I like the fact that I've seen them kind of back off a little bit. Hey, we're beat. There's a couple guys open. We need to get back, get more solid. And I think that that's really good. I think this team's going to take more chances this year. And I think that more chances are going to equal more goals. They're going to equal, you know, giving up a few. I think this defense is due for a step back just because the tackling was so on point in this game. Cincinnati had 3 or 4 points where they're through on goal, if not for a late slide tackle, a toe poke, something weird like that. So I think Red Bull's defense was awfully efficient. But they beat Cincinnati, who, you know, beat us 2 legs of the playoffs last year. We had 3 attacking options we didn't have on us at that point. And I really like what's going on here. And to everyone who says, who could have guessed Red Bull would be here? I have been saying it since our preview show in February that Red Bull is going to be in this situation. I did not think this 4-game stretch was going to go as well as it did. And now we get to play Chicago this week. I'm very confident at home. Going to LAFC after that might be a little bit of a mismatch. LAFC's got a lot of firepower. But if Red Bull can take Bouanga out and not let him toe drag in the box, then I think we have, a good chance in LA too. I guess that's where we got to go. Was that a nice transition?
That was a good transition. I was going to ask you about Cincy's offense, but let's go. Let's talk about LA. People want El Trafico, right?
Yeah. Give the people what they want.
Give the people what they want. All right. Is it a penalty?
Yes. No, 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 no. You watch Manchester United Liverpool yesterday? Second goal at Liverpool? That's not a penalty. And we have VAR. One thing I don't get is we have VAR to prevent bad calls, to get the right calls. You cannot tell me the majority of people that watch that LAFC, LA Galaxy game are going to tell me that Bouanga did not embellish and force and toe drag and bring his right leg out and force the penalty. That to me is an automatic yellow card dive. That is not a penalty. I don't care in any league. I don't care in any level. I don't care VAR or not. That should not be a penalty. I am sorry. I don't get it. And we have VAR to prevent crap, and it still happened. And let's talk about Manchester United, Liverpool. Same thing Sunday, Manchester United, a second goal. That is not, they never touched the guy. And VAR says it's a penalty. I don't understand. What's the point of VAR?
If it's blatantly Premier League VAR is any sort of standard. Except
well, right. Well, you got a point. The English VAR is banged up. I'll agree with you. Well, but anyway, the point of VAR
to sabotage VAR. Right.
Alex, I'm going to answer your question because VAR isn't about getting the call right. It's about reinforcing what the ref said on the field in an easy way, taking all hands off of anyone else for having responsibility. Like, that's what it is for. The burden of proof on, like, irrefutably bad call is so high that they're not using it. I don't want, you know, the burden of proof to be that high, like where everything could be called inconclusive. No, I want you to make inconclusive calls. Make the call right. I don't care about a 90% chance. If there's a 55% chance the wrong call was made, overturn it. I don't want this 99.9. 55% chance, overturn it. You don't have a good angle, but you kind of know what happened, overturn it.
Well, Bouanga is a very skillful player. He knows what he's doing. Listen, he missed a sitter in that game. They should have scored. So you can take throughout the penalty. He should have scored in that sitter. LAFC still wins the game 2-1.
Remind me, did the ref go to the monitor for Bouanga's penalty?
Off the top of my head, I can't recall right now. But I was just the first thing I said. I yelled at the TV and go, "That's a dime."
So
in Lifetime, I literally yelled at the TV, "That's a dime."
When I first watched it, I said, "That's a dive. He's flopped and the ref is taking the bait." I watched it back from a couple different angles and I still think, yeah, he's manufactured contact in a way, and he's thrown himself to the ground and he's bought
leg drag. You heard that term,
the classic leg drag. Yeah. He's bought that penalty. But I've watched it back a couple times and I'm like, it's funny because he didn't need to do that. Because if he takes a regular step, the slide tackle takes him out anyway. The way that like momentum is going, the way the directions are going, he's going to either step on the defender and rolls, you know, kind of roll and go down, or he's still going to have that foot to foot contact and he's going to go down. Like, he doesn't have to do what he did in order to get the penalty. And that's what I think is even more frustrating to me. He has flopped for a penalty that he's going to get anyway.
I agree. And I think there was like a little bit, like if you watch the defender's foot, who was that? Was that a Yamane?
Yeah. Yamane.
He's trying. He's even seen the defender trying
up a little bit, and it looks like he's like I'm not going to do that. It was just such a bizarre play. You can run it back 100 times, and you get 100 different results. But Bawanga, exactly. Knowing that he's going to get fouled, does that make it any different that he tried to get fouled? Like maybe not.
It's the tiniest contact. He's going down. Most forwards, they're going to go down. There's diving and going down on contact. To me, that's more of a dive than going down on contact. And that's what I have a problem with. I hate diving in this sport. I can't stand it.
I want diving officials to
be multiple yellow cards, but what can I do?
I want officials to basically say, I don't care. You need to be fouled. I know that you know that you're going to get fouled. I need you to be fouled before I call a foul, right?
I agree. Don't
drag your foot. Don't manufacture it. Don't dive, whatever. Take the foul. This is a contact sport. Take the foul. And if you don't take the foul, you don't get the call.
And there are players like in the league that wouldn't want to be fouled there just because they think they could have turned that into something. Like if he does not get tackled there is a chance that he is open on goal and that he can score just on his own. My question for you, Alex, LAFC plays New York Red Bull in 2 weeks. How many times does Bawanga go down in the box on Andre Reyes?
Well, Andre Reyes is... He's sometimes a bull in a china shop, if you know what I'm talking about. I'm hoping Andre Reyes does not play. I'm gonna go with the Nihlis boys and L from Sweden in the back if I have my choice and sit Reyes out in that game. But we'll talk about that in 2 weeks. That'll be a big game in 2 weeks. Let's worry about the trap game against Chicago at home this week.
Chapico, LAFC wins 2-1. They were heavy favorites at -150. Kind of the result that I did not want. I was kind of rooting for LA Galaxy with the win in the draw at +105. Only my second loss of the week. So I was 6-2, and that was one of the bad calls there.
To be totally fair, this game was crazy because these teams combined for 38 total shots, 13 shots on target, 4.66 expected goal, only scored 3 times. This game should have had a lot more goals. I pulled numbers for a couple of other games that had similar sort of numbers. They all had 4, 5, 7 goals. Like, these teams were unbelievably inefficient, unclinical, but wildly entertaining, though.
Yeah, Bawanga, 2 of 8 shooting. Brugman and Peck, 1 of 3 each. Ricky Puig, 0 of his 5 shots landed. Okay, let's move on now and talk about Columbus, because they got Cucho back on the field. How did that go?
Oh, it was terrible. It was so... I mean, it wasn't that bad. Cucho was playing pretty well, but like, what was he thinking? He gets a little foul. It's a pretty regular foul. Goes down, kicks out, straight red card, off you go. I think that's extra game suspension, right?
I want to know what happened in house. Was this because of
that was got you, Bobby? Stole my breaking thunder. Two I was rules. That
Cucho stole Hernandez missed. What was it? 3 competitive matches up before this game. He finally gets back in, gets a red card out. Is that an additional team suspension? What is going to happen?
Was
it a rules thing?
This is an MLS thing. Bruce Arena, we never found out the story. We never found out the story. What happened earlier? This is another weird situation. I mean, there's no media like this would not happen in MLB. NFL, college football. I don't understand how these stuff like this gets buried. Nobody knows the story. No reporter knows the story. No one's reporting about it. Nobody knows why Cucho's been out. The coach won't talk about it. None of the players talk about it. Nobody knows.
In a way, though, I respect that. It's like the.
But what did he do? Was it a discipline issue? Was it a discipline issue? Did he say something? Was he late for practice?
Maybe it matters. But it's like the Gio Reyna thing. If Berhalter keeps that internally, right? We never talk about it, and it, you know, actually, like, it's a lot better if that kind of thing never gets out. But it does get out, and then it's a huge story, and it's a problem. And Gio Reyna's carrying the burden of this, like, thing in his career. And Berhalter's carrying the burden of this thing in his career. And Kucha doesn't need that. And Wilfred Nancy doesn't need that. And the Columbus crew don't need that. So, like, I don't really care. I don't care if he had a bust up with his teammates. I don't care if he was late to practice. I don't care if
he mouthed up. I just want to know what's the secret thing.
I care that they have decided that this is something for them to deal with internally. They have dealt with it internally, that Cucho respected that enough to not mouth off to the media or on Twitter or anything like that, that his teammates respected that enough to not tell us. Like, that just tells me that group is bought in. They believe in whatever happened. They accept the punishment. They don't think that they need to do other things. They think it's fair. They think it's just, and they've accepted that. And do I want to know? Yes, I'm nosy. I really want to know. But I respect that the Columbus Crew organization and the team is bought in and connected and is together enough that they have said, we don't need to tell you.
But I think it is emblematic of another problem. And here's the other problem, is that the media isn't holding them to the fire the way, you know, when fantasy football blew up, everyone held every coach to the fire. How's he hurt? Why is he hurt? Why is he missing time? How much time is he going to miss? We could have had reporting that said, Wilfred Nancy says, Cucho is...
And it's an eternal matter we're dealing with.
Suspended for 3 games due to an internal matter.
Right.
We're not going to discuss the thing further. And let us know right out. Because here is what is happening in Major League Soccer. They're not reporting injuries. They're not reporting suspensions. They're not reporting internal matters. They're not reporting on time. Even players who travel with the team and who doesn't. We're trying to make a podcast here every Thursday night talking about betting for Major League Soccer. Do you know when the injury report was posted on that Major League Soccer website last week?
Friday.
10:29 p.m. at night Eastern time, Friday night.
Yeah.
That's a problem. How can we be honest? How do we know what's going on in this billion-dollar gambling industry if we don't have the news, we don't have the information? Fine. You can suspend players internally. You can bench players internally. You have to tell us how long, and you have to tell us, you know, maybe not why.
Well, he's an MVP type. It's not like some backup left back is not appearing. He's an MVP candidate under the defending MLS champion. It'd be kind of nice to know what the hell's going on. That's what I'm saying.
No, that's a fair point, Bob. Especially, you know, your point about all the other associated things that go on. If MLS really wants to be a player and a partner in these other industries, then they do need to be more transparent to a certain degree. Maybe we don't need to know the details, but timelines and getting timelines at a reasonable time.
NFL has rules for exactly that reason. Now, there could be a kid reporter in Columbus making, you know, 4 cents an hour working for a local newspaper, has inside information that we don't have now because it's not out there. That's why these things got to be taken care of. Okay, let's move on and talk about Caleb Porter in the New England Revolution. Caleb Porter promised to win Charlotte FC. Said, no, you don't. And then they lost. New England Revolution 1-0 in this match. Charles Hill 1-for-1 shooting with a goal. Chankalai still 0-for-3. Another bad week putting the ball on net in Major League Soccer. He was not the only one, but he's the only one in this match I'm going to call out. Frioni, I think, was 1-for-4 shooting. So, you know, the game looked somewhat even here, about 1 to 1.3 expected goals. Charlotte probably should add a couple chances. Aguimong missed a sitter. I immediately thought it was Kerwin Vargas because we talked about Kerwin Vargas missing sitters the previous week. I thought I was watching a replay. That was not it. Both of them had bad days. Charlotte goes 3-for-7 shooting with 1.3 expected goals. New England Revolution. Coach Caleb Porter at the end says, you know, he apologized. He didn't mean to say it. It was a throwaway comment at the end of an interview. The exact opposite of the thing I wanted to hear. I wanted him to say, we meant it and we won.
Yeah, no, you want him. You want him to double down and be like, look, I promised it because I genuinely believe anytime we step on the field that we're going to win. I never believed that we're going to do anything other than win. And that is a reflection of my inner confidence. Like, take it for what it is. I want him to double down on that and just be like, I believe in this team. I believe we're going to win. To go walk it back and say, oh, I'm sorry about that. Like, whatever. Like, nah, Caleb, buddy, don't.
It was such a confident call.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to Dean Smith on Charlotte. Dean Smith says the most milquetoast way you can, oh, maybe that's not going to happen. We still got to play the game. Not what I wanted from him. I wanted him to throw the chair right back at him. Yeah. I wanted, you know.
I promise they won't.
Fighting on the sideline. And we had another weak response by the coach. I don't know. This was going to be a thing. This is a non-story now, right?
Well, it's so boring. Like, what a boring way for the, like, it was perfectly set up, softball pitch over the plate, and the batter just let it go, you know?
I can tell you this. I'm not a fan of what I see in the New England Revolution week in, week out on the field. Verone looks like a not a good signing. Carlos Hill seems to be by himself. I think New England, unless they sign some players, make some moves in the summertime, I think they're for a long
time. They need to completely rebuild their attack or trade Carlos Hill and free him from the like hell that he is living, because their attack is right now absolutely,
they're tough to watch. The New England is a tough team to watch right now. I'll just leave it at that.
Carlos Hill's goal, by the way, in this game was an absolute beauty. It was a real heads up play of, you know, a player that is intelligent, cultured, and extremely skillful. That left foot curler, you know, deceptively difficult, and it looked difficult to be. Arguing though, dude, the sitter that he missed, I do not have enough bad words for that. That is, you cannot be a professional and miss that.
Charlotte has had the worst attacking efficiency. I guess we'll call it efficiency. I was going to say luck, but it's not luck because they're just not doing very well. Like the only team I could think of that's doing worse than them right now is like NYCFC. I know I took notes somewhere on what Bakrar did. 0-for-5 shooting. So we talked about it 3 weeks in a row being inefficient, and he gets none on target again this week.
I don't know what you guys think. Sorry, I didn't mean to get back to Charlotte, but to me, Charlotte at home looks a lot different than Charlotte on the road. That's how I see it. To me, I like Charlotte at home, and when they go on the road, they don't look like the same team. That just meant, I don't know what you guys think, but that's how I see it.
I'd agree with that. I mean, that's a lot of Major League Soccer teams.
But Charlotte especially, to me, they play much different. They way more confident at home than other teams, and they're a lot more different on the road. That's what I see it as. And we talk about it on Thursday. I would take Charlotte when they're home. I would look at them more, and when on the road, I would go against them. But that's a show for Thursday.
2.33 points per game at home, 0.25 points per game on the road. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I definitely kind of backs that up. Let's finish up, and we'll talk about a road team who got a road win. Two road teams got road wins. I bet on both of them. First one is New York Red Bulls. Second one, Philadelphia Union. I had two bets on this. Over 2.5 total goals and Philly over 1.5 team goals. And Philadelphia Union win. Had a lot going on there. They all hit at the very, very last moment. I was sweating a lot in the group chat watching this matchup here. Philadelphia, 48% possession. 6 of 13 shots were on target. 1.8 expected goals. Carranza and Gazdag, the guys you expect. Assists by McGlynn and Sullivan, the guys you'd expect. Philadelphia Union is now 3-3-0 heading into the...
Philadelphia, man. I say this every week. Every week, I am a broken record. They're just so resilient. You cannot count them out of games. If you do not bury them, right? If you do not go full Pachuca, put up 6 on them, Philadelphia's in the game. They're going to find a way. They're going to get back at it. They're going to get something out of the game. If you give them a way back, they will find it. And they have continued to do that. I said last week that Philadelphia still doesn't convince me. I think they should be winning these games more comfortably. They're the better team. They're better coached. They have better players. But they continue to just leave it late. But they have some mental resiliency, mental toughness. It's another 90-minute winner. It's crazy.
Did you see who Philadelphia plays this week? Atlanta in Atlanta, 2:30 p.m. Eastern time on a Sunday afternoon, baby. That game is going to be televised. We all get to watch it uninterrupted. Let's get it.
That's going to be so good.
Let's talk about Nashville real quick. No Zimmerman. Scoring seems to be... fans are revolting on the coach. Same message year after year after year. Sometimes it gets old. I think that's something to do with what's going on in Nashville. And I don't know what you guys think, but without Walker Zimmerman, this is a shadow of a team the last few years. I know one player does not make a team, but without him back there, I have no confidence in Nashville right now. They can't score. They're giving up goals. And who's the leader on this team? Mukhtar, it seems it's too much pressure on him to lead the team. And without Zimmerman helping him out in the back, I think, again, it's another team Nashville, I think, is on the way down and more looking more on the way down to me than looking on the way up.
I think Mukhtar thrives and has thrived when the pressure on him was just to be himself, right? Show up, play, be amazing, score goals, assist, whatever. When that was all that's really expected of him, he's great. When you don't have like Zimmerman just being like the captain and the leader and the, you know, heartbeat of the team or whatever, now that starts to expose maybe what is Hani Mukhtar's, you know, weakness, if you can call it that. But I think there's other things in Nashville. I was thinking about like Hannibal Godoy. You know, that was a guy who was a staple in their midfield for, you know, years. And now it's just not, you know, he's kind of on the out a little bit, not as consistent. Not sure they've really like replaced him though. They still needed him to score a bike to get, you know, a point the other week. I just think this Nashville team is some of the things that we accuse other teams of, not refreshing, not getting younger in the right ways, not rebuilding in the right ways. You know, kind of the things that we have accused Seattle of. Like, that's Nashville.
And I used to be afraid to go to Nashville. Now I'm not afraid as an outsider to go into Nashville thinking I can't get points.
Nashville, the thing with them, they were consistent. Same roster each and every week. They were healthy for long stretches of time. Do you know what player on Nashville has the most minutes this season without looking? Alex's head goes right down to his phone.
It's time to guess here. I'm looking at the roster here. I'm going to guess.
It's Drew Yearwood with 529 minutes.
There's your problem. There's your problem.
Drew Yearwood.
There's your problem.
Serviceable player.
There's your problem.
Not a
there's
center back. Not even Alex Mouille. It's Drew.
I was gonna go Daniel Lovitz there.
He's played quite well for them. But
he's a serviceable player. But that it needs to be like that needs to be a heartbeat player of your team.
It's not a difference maker.
Is that Drew Yearwood?
It's not a difference maker. To me, he's not a difference maker.
I think it could be a difference maker in that center defensive midfield position, but here's the problem. When Nashville's good, and in the past years, if you go back 2023, 2022, 2021, if you looked up their most minutes by player, it's a goalie and five defenders. That's what it is, you know, and when you don't have that consistency, I think that says enough about the story. They're putting out a new roster each and every week. You're going to see a new look. You're going to see a new roster this week, and that's going to be a problem. They need to get healthy. They need to add some talent and not just on defense. We thought they were doing something, bringing in Tyler Boyd in the offseason. Hasn't really worked out.
Yeah, there are some things like they're going to have more time, with like Schaffelberg on the field. He's been out with like international duty and stuff like that. That hurt.
He's been a spark for him. I agree.
He's a spark. I think he's a player that we agree that is a good young player. Sam Surridge is healthy again and getting minutes now, and he's starting to find some rhythm. Scored a goal in this game, so that is another positive thing. There are some things that are going to start to work for them, maybe for that attack, but I still have concerns, you know, down the spine of this team. Schaffelberg being healthy is good. Surridge being healthy and finding some form is good. Those things are good for them to get like a goal or a couple goals a game or whatever, but that does not stop them from getting, you know, dominated or getting outpossessed, or for other teams being able to go up the middle and put goals on them. You know, that doesn't help them keep their clean sheets, which is what everything has really been based on.
I agree. And I think that that's why they are taking a big step. And I think this is why we kind of saw them taking a step back over the next, few seasons. See how they retool in the offseason. They're not afraid to go out and make a splash, grab Sam Surridge last year. Maybe not the difference maker they were looking for, but you know, you got to address this midfield too. You got Sean Davis, Drew Yearwood, and a Ball Godoy. You got old, is not looking good in Nashville. Let us know what you think of Nashville. Let us know what you think about the show. We're just heading around the 36 minute mark, so we're going to call it a night. Alex, any last words?
No, not really. I mean, you know, Bob, I know you've been high on the Red Bulls and all season long, rah, rah, rah. And
I've been right on the Red Bulls.
I am still, I've been down this road. I don't know how many times the supporter shields. I am still not, I am not going all in yet. I'm just not.
Alex, you might as well be happy in April, May, June, and July when we're winning all these games, because in October, you got nothing to watch. Enjoy it while we have it.
I agree with you. I mean, listen, we got Champions Cup this week, Columbus, Miami, the Mexican team's having some problems. Interesting to see what they do this week in the Champions Cup.
Agreed. All right, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Make sure you click that subscribe button so you can get our content everywhere. It is youtube.com/@thedesignatedpundits, at Bob V Soccer on Twitter. You can hit me up there. Find your favorite podcast platform. Just search The Designated Pundits and we'll be there. Thank you guys and have a